Do you believe the dead come back and watch the living?
No. No. I don't believe it.
Rebecca.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is also available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Board meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The KBOO Board of Directors meets the fourth Monday of the month, starting at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
You're listening to KBOO, KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon. You just heard the evening news, and next up is It You or Is It Me? With your host, Guinevere, and her guest, Star.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the second show of Is It You or Is It Me on KBOO 90.7 Portland. I have with me tonight a beautiful friend and guest, Star Shepherd Dexter. And
Shepherd Decker.
Decker. Sorry. I don't. How did I get Dexter in that?
Oh, X is a good letter.
It is.
It's true.
And we're going to be talking about Star's practice as a coach and a spiritual leader. And off we go. So Is It You or Is It Me has gone through a little bit of a change. And what we've changed into is It You or Is It Me around personal responsibility, around personal development, around the idea of blame, accusation towards others, towards ourselves, and just having a discussion about it and having guests that guests whose work in the community addresses this kind of conversation. So Star is a spiritual leader, a professional vocalist, public speaker, founder of Radical Revelations and the Portland Lunch Meetup. She's a coach for coaches and healers going through personal crisis. Star knows from experience how easy it is to stay stuck in survival mode when managing both a practice and personal upheaval. So she is super passionate about holding space for and supporting these leaders who are changing the world one session at a time. Star has been actively seeing clients since 2009 when she became a licensed spiritual practitioner through Centers for Spiritual Living and has been studying personal and spiritual development for 20 years. She has impacted hundreds of lives through classes, presentations, interviews, retreats, music, humor, her presence, and by encouraging everyone she meets to be exactly who they are. This is a lot.
It is.
Called a pushy little broad at the age of two, Star is a natural-born leader. Over the last 15 years, she has served in various leadership positions, including being on the Women's Retreat Committee, serving as a board president at the Portland Center for Spiritual Living, being project manager for the Inspiring Women's Leaders Conference, and playing a vital role assisting the annual World Domination Summit. Starr also had the honor of volunteering for many years at the Commonway Institute, run by thought leader Sharif Abdullah. Blessed by the support of her husband of 15 years, shout out.
Yes. Woohoo. Thank you, Adam.
Her incredible friendships and dozens of coaches, healers, and mentors, Starr knows how important it is to get big support when you have a big vision. When not homeschooling her youngest of three children, she continues to serve coaches and healers throughout her monthly Portland lunch meetups, Facebook community, and private group mentorships. Private and group mentorship.
Yes. So many awesome. Things. I know. It's a lot.
I know.
I'm one of those, I didn't coin the phrase, but I love it. A DLOS, a does lots of stuff.
Does lots of stuff. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, so that's definitely me.
A DOLS.
DLOS, yep, that's
There's
me.
Your new buzz acronym for now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Gwen. I really appreciate you offering this opportunity to just share with people who I am and what I do and how they might be able to connect in.
My pleasure, because, you know, in the KBU community, but also in our greater community here in Portland, life coaching, or I'm just going to call it life coaching.
That's
because
fine.
it's you know, the roundabout word, but this is a you know, help that is coming up in the world. It's more and more people are taking advantage of coaches and this kind of interaction with each other that's from this moment forward, you know, even though it may deal with some things from the past, it's mostly about shifting forward. So
absolutely.
I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. And I just think that, you know, we all need someone outside of ourselves to see our blind spots and help us to grow and evolve, you know, in ways. And we're tribal beings. So, you know, we're hardwired for community, even though we're sort of programmed for isolation. And so I think coaching is a great way to tap into that community.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit, just real quick, about your family. Like, you know, we don't have to go real deep if you don't want. Just a little something so people get to know, like, you know, are you over there with a group of people, or
so, you know, I think you said that my husband and I have been together 15 years. I was actually reading that and going, maybe I need to update my bio. This year will be 17 years and a couple months that we've been together. At the end of the year, it'll be 17 years that we've been living together. And I have three children, and he's the father of my third child, who's my youngest, who's going to turn 15 next month.
Oh my!
Which is just crazy. And my oldest, she just turned 20, and so it's like time just flies, man. But I'm just so grateful. You know, I know that I wouldn't have gotten as far in my own growth and being able to heal some of the, you know, traumatic stuff of my past without this beautiful rock of support that I have at home. And I definitely want to give a shout out to my amazing husband, Adam, because he,
Adam,
continues to love and support me exactly who I am, no matter how, you know, big and shiny I get. Because as you can see, I'm a lot.
A lot.
And you barely even touch the surface. And he's always really been there for me. You know, I can twirl around and be really bright and shiny and then come home. And he's this kind of grounding rock that I get to come home to. And I'm just so grateful for that.
So awesome. And you do homeschooling.
Yeah, my youngest, who is about to turn 15, Zane, with a Y, Z-A-Y-N-E, he has never been to public school. And I know that wouldn't have been possible without the amazing homeschooling community that we have right here in Portland. You know, we've been tapping into homeschooling events and community since he was five. And so it's just, we've just been really blessed to have these other opportunities. I know that public school didn't really work for me personally. You know, I'm a very smart individual. I tested in the 99th percentile in kindergarten. And by the time I was a senior, I was ditching more than I was showing up. And I could barely make it to college, even though I was only taking music and creative writing classes, because I was just so over school. And I hope that, you know, that he gets to make college a choice. And if he wants to do it, that he won't already be burned out on the idea of forced education. And so I'm just really grateful to have, you know, that option to teach him in a different way and to allow him to really explore himself in ways that I don't think that public education always supports.
Wow. There's So much that you do in just your personal life and then also in your business life.
Yeah.
It's like,
where do we start?
Do you have somebody that takes care of your calendar as their sole job?
No, it's amazing. It's me. Yeah, well, thankfully, I'm also a super tech nerd and gamer and build my own websites and do all of my own tech stuff. And so, you know, someday when my empire is huge, I'll hand that off to somebody. And I do have an assistant who helps me, you know, with my contracts and my invoices. And, you know, she was lovely enough to get my attendee roster for the Portland lunch meetup this morning while I was in the shower. So I just had to pull that up and print it out. So I definitely do have support. But a lot of it is, for now, it's all me.
Nice. It's amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
It's a lot, but I'm really, you know, I've always been committed to quote unquote changing the world. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, I thought that was me sort of shouting from the rooftops, telling everybody what to do. I learned that that wasn't really feasible or appropriate.
Yeah, right.
And so I'm so grateful for my training, you know, that I got that really allowed me to learn how to help people and when to help people and to really get permission before I offer advice or suggestions and you know, how much deeper I can go with someone in a coaching relationship as opposed to just having a conversation with someone, because you really have that permission to go deep and to hold space for some of those harder things, which is my favorite thing to do, is to really go deep with people.
Yeah, it's so rewarding.
It is. And I know, you know, I came from a pretty messed up childhood and, you know, I had a lot of emotional and mental and verbal abuse and dealt with a lot of abandonment. And then, of course, you know, married someone who fit that profile very well because it felt just like love. And that was my first marriage that got me two beautiful children, but also, you know, a lot of trauma. Mm-hmm. And so it was really a choice a long time ago. Here I was 23 with these two young kids and this sort of awful marriage that had ended. And I had a choice. In fact, I remember having this vision. And it was of me sort of like 50 years old, sitting at a bar, 10 o'clock in the morning, already drunk with a cigarette, kind of retelling this horrible story of my 20s. And I just like had this realization that I had a choice, you know, I could either let this horrible thing that had happened to me define me, or I could start learning how to make my life the way that I wanted it to be instead of the way that it had been up until then.
Create some intention.
Yeah, absolutely. And learn how to, you know, the thing that the Portland Center for Spiritual Living really taught me was, you know, their main motto is change your entire life just by changing your thoughts. And that's really what I learned how to do. And I'm really grateful for that teaching because I was actually dating my husband, Adam, when I started taking those classes and really waking up to the fact that I had a choice. I could either recreate the same icky marriage that I had and kind of teach him how to treat me the way that my first husband taught him. Because we all teach people how to treat us, you know, by what we put up with and what we expect. Or I could step into who I really was. And then he could either accept that or not. And then I could, you know, act accordingly. And thankfully, he continued to pleasantly surprise me over and over again and be a very different person than my first husband was. And I'm so grateful for, you know, my willingness to take a chance and to take some different action, as well as, you know, just who he is and his support of me all along.
It's interesting when we step up into that personal responsibility.
Yes.
Owning our stuff. Making some decisions,
absolutely.
changing your thought, your thinking, how things line up for us, you know, with very little effort, right? No training, no nothing. It's just, this is the way it is.
Yeah.
Which is kind of going back a little bit, the beauty of that deep connection with somebody and helping people reach that space. And do that, the end result is things work.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it gives us more space to allow rather than force. Which is what's really beautiful, to see what can happen when we allow.
Yeah. That's a big thing right there. And we look around us and we see how many people are pushing that rock up the street.
Yeah.
forcing things to happen, and
it's exhausting.
Oh my gosh, it's just thinking about it.
I know. Well, and a big part of what I teach is, you know, everything works better when you work with how you actually are instead of who you think you're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And as long as you're trying to be somebody else or convincing yourself life would be better if you were XYZ, then you're pushing that rock up the hill, and it's exhausting. And so, you know, as you mentioned earlier, I work with these coaches and healers that are dealing with some really heavy personal life issues, whether it's, you know, illness, theirs or their own, acute or chronic, whether it's, you know, a loss or a tragedy or a legal battle. You know, they only have so much bandwidth to give their practice. And if they're trying to be someone else, or their systems and their strategies are aligned with a different person, it's going to be that much more exhausting. Mm-hmm. And so that's really, you know, other than the spiritual guidance that I give for that inner stability, that's part of the sustainability I help them build in their business, is really aligning all those systems and strategies and even their sales with who they actually are, so they don't have to try so darn hard.
Which kind of brings us around to your business, your coaching business, and it's so help me out here. Radical Revelations is the
the
overreaching
kind of package.
And within that
there's a lot.
it goes along with what we've been talking about, is spiritual guidance and business strategy for coaches and healers in personal crisis.
Yeah.
So we've kind of already started the conversation there, but can you tell me a little bit about what you mean when you say that? I mean, if somebody's looking you up, what are you saying here?
Yeah. So I think that it's really important, because sadly, in the industry, especially in the coaching industry and even the spiritual industry, there's kind of this standard where leaders are put on this pedestal, and they're made to believe that they have to have all their ducks in a row and all of their life, quote unquote, figured out and everything really perfect in order to be in a position to offer advice or support to anyone else.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so here are these leaders who maybe, you know, have been working in their industry for years, have already helped so many people, and then they have a life crisis come up. And, you know, the clients who come to me express that they feel a lot of shame around that, because there's this idea that, okay, if my thoughts create my life, then I should, quote unquote, have everything together. And if something comes up, then that must be a reflection that I'm thinking, quote unquote, wrong. And then they start going into fix it mode or blame mode or shame mode. They start to isolate. They're not sure what to share publicly or what not to share. And if they don't share anything, then they feel like a fraud. And it's this whole kind of downward spiral.
I was just going to say, that's that start of that, of making the rock, finding the street.
Yep.
That whole downward spiral,
Yeah, and sadly, you know, I'll go to networking events and I'll share with people what I do, and there'll be this pause, and so many people have been like, wow, I wish I would have met you 3 years ago. I actually closed my practice down.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of, you know, what I want to do is help these leaders know that they can keep giving their best even when they're at their worst, that there is a way to keep their practice open, even if at a very bare minimum, because it's so much harder to restart a practice than it is to keep it going and to keep giving to their clients. And so, you know, I know that in their heart, these leaders, these coaches and healers want to do what they're here to do, that there's that yearning. But I know that there's also a lot of pressure from our society to sort of do what's expected. And I know a lot of my clients will come to me, and there's a lot of pressure from their family. If there's a crisis, that they're supposed to drop their practice and get a 9-to-5 job. The people who that is their, you know, view of how the world works is, well, stop doing this silly hobby thing.
This hobby thing, right?
That isn't, you know, really going to ever get you anywhere. And now you've got evidence in your life that it's not working because you have this crisis. And so you better just fold your practice, fold your business, and go get a J-O-B. And sadly, that's something that really comes up with a lot of these leaders. And so that's part of what I'm helping them with too, is to navigate those relationships.
Uh-huh.
And to really navigate the inner judgment of how can I be a leader, you know, and how do I navigate these issues in the public eye? And so, you know, that can be challenging myself. I've been dealing with chronic illness for over 15 years. And I started training to be a spiritual practitioner when I was going through some really challenging relationship stuff with, through, you know, divorce and custody battles and all of that. And so I know what it's like, both because of my past and because of my present. I'm still having to manage flare-ups when they come up. You know, and deal with that in real time. And so I've had to learn techniques and strategies and mindsets to really get me through and to not doubt myself that I'm still an amazing leader. I can still give so much to my clients, even though I have stuff up, even though I'm not perfect. Oh my gosh, don't tell anybody. Oh wait, we're on air.
Yeah, right.
And one of the stories that I like to use, or examples I like to use, is sort of the flawed guide. Because as coaches, you know, as healers, as leaders, we aren't the hero in our client's life. They are. Right?
Right.
Like, it's not about them coming to us to be rescued. You know, it's about they are the hero of their life, and we're just kind of their guide along the way. Mm-hmm. And so I actually had another coach give me this as an example. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's gold. I'm using it. And she said, you know, look at the flawed guides of the stories that we love. Like, look at Gandalf from Lord of the Rings, or look at Haymitch from The Hunger Games. They were in no way perfect.
Mm-hmm.
They were falling apart, and they had their own stuff going on, and sometimes they were in a cage. I mean, Haymitch was drunk the whole darn time, and yet still they got our hero where they needed to go.
Right.
And mm-hmm. so that's kind of the example that I use with these leaders, is you don't have to have all your ducks in a row. You don't have to have all your stuff together in order to help. You know, you can use what you know and even use your own experience through pain and struggle to help these clients and to be more real for them.
Yeah, it's kind of like the trust we put in ourselves, but also in others. Like mm-hmm. a trust we someone might put in a coach.
Right.
We have this idea of what that trust looks like, and it looks like somebody on a pedestal.
Yes.
And it looks like somebody who quote, finger quotes, knows more than we do. We mm-hmm. were talking about that earlier, right?
Yeah.
Like, well, Star, you know more than I do.
Right.
You know, and it's like, no. So what you're talking about is breaking down that preconceived idea that a leader is on a pedestal, that
yes.
a leader is untouchable, is perfect, is yes. born that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And to be honest, you know, if we look at the history of that idea, it really comes from religion.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had the priest who was supposedly closer to God, and that you weren't allowed to go to God straight yourself because you
right.
weren't worthy. You were less than. You were a sinner.
Or something
right. like that. And so you had to go to this priest or this pastor who would then pass your messages along to God. And so there's this really old, old notion that our leaders must be on that pedestal in order for them to be worthy as leaders. But I like to say, don't put anybody on a pedestal
right.
because it's
mm-hmm.
going to break, and it's going to hurt both them and you when mm-hmm. it does.
It's,
you know, somebody including yourself is going to get harmed. And so mm-hmm. I have an ongoing practice of watching myself if I try to put someone that I'm looking to on a pedestal, because really that's just another way that we give our power away, you know,
uh-huh.
that we look outside of ourselves for the truth instead of looking right inside ourselves where it always is.
Mm-hmm. The masses.
Yes.
Pedestals and the masses.
Mm-hmm.
So that is really awesome. I so love this idea that you're working with and helping people in positions of leadership or even in positions of personal identity and their own personal power.
Yeah.
So outside of the coaching stuff, you also have a web-based Sunday program. Spiritual Sundays.
Star Spiritual Sundays. Yeah. Yes, yes. So that was one of those inspired ideas. I was in the shower and I just came out of the shower and it was like fully formed. You're going to have a virtual service. It's going to be Sundays at 10. You know, people can can show up or they can watch the recordings. You know, it's going to be accessible, an easy yes. Uh-huh. And I just, you know, I will admit, I resisted it for a couple weeks.
Just a couple of weeks.
A couple of weeks because it was
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, because it was a life change. You know, it's sure. I don't have an office in my house, so I don't have a door I can close. So I literally have to kind of kick my family out or tell them to hide in their bedroom for an hour while I do this recording. And so there's a little resistance to shifting up the lifestyle at home. But I found that the more I resisted, the more it was like banging on the inside of me to come out. And so I had to go with it. It was like, this is what is mine to do. And it's been really amazing. You know, when I first launched the idea and started talking about it, the feedback I got, you know, right away was, oh, I've been waiting for you to do this. And so the focus is practical spirituality for rebels and visionaries, because I think that, you know, there's not a lot of places for us to go where we can have a spirituality that isn't on a pedestal, that isn't just in the sky, that isn't just warm and fuzzy one day a week and makes us feel good about ourselves. That I really wanted to teach a spirituality that has changed my life, which is one that is practical, that meets you right in the muck. You know, that really allows you to apply tools and principles and perspectives that can shift you forward and that can also not just impact your own life, because I think that's a very self-centered view of spirituality, to just make yourself feel better.
Right.
But to really help you to learn how to apply a spirituality that makes you impact the world in a more positive way. You know, there's a lot of people that want, you know, whether you call it a new paradigm or a new era, you know, want things to change. We're seeing some stuff in our country and the world that we're just not okay with. And it's like, how can we use our spirituality to really amplify those changes and really allow us to be the change in a more practical way, instead of such an abstract kind of warm and fuzzy be the change, but what does that mean? And so that's been a really fun thing that I've been doing. I just started it earlier this month. So we've got three.
Okay.
And so we've got three services already in. And my first talk was, where is your God? Mm-hmm. And I really talked about this idea of how, you know, 10,000 years ago, we kind of took the divine out of the earth and put it up in the sky. And that's where we created this separation and this pedestal that we've all been trying to reach that is just kind of made up. And it's not even true. And the analogy I used is, it's like we've said that the divine is the flower, but it's not the soil. And so I really want to teach spiritual principles that allow us to hold space for all of who we are, even the parts that we don't like very much. Because as you and I were talking about before the show, you know, it's all sacred. Mm-hmm. I believe in oneness, not a duality. Mm-hmm. And so if there really is only one sort of energy life force expressing in an infinite number of ways, how can we honor that while also deciding what parts of the one work for us and work for humanity and what parts don't?
One of the things that I like that you did say a little earlier was the idea of practical spirituality. So this is spirituality mixed in with your everyday movements.
Absolutely.
And how you know, in whatever form that might look like, bringing that spiritual side of us into our everyday lives, bringing in compassion and empathy and patience, it is just, you know, it's so where we need to be, because everything we do, even here at KBOO, in the mechanics of KBOO, that spiritual side of things needs to be present.
Yeah.
Because it's what helps us balance.
Absolutely.
So that idea of practical spirituality, mm-hmm. we've talked about this before a little bit, but it's like, do you have some examples or what kind of idea is that? What could you give to listeners that really puts it across?
Yeah, oh, that's a great great question. I'm gonna have to think on that for just a moment. So I think it's really, you know, humans are story and actors. Mm-hmm. Like we kind of take everything that we see and we compile it in our mind into story. And what I mean by that is it's got a beginning and a middle and an end.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of just how our brains work. My favorite author, Daniel Quinn, he says that is what sets humans apart from other animals. It's not consciousness. It's not tool use. It's story. Mm-hmm. It's that everything that we see, we turn into, again, a beginning, a middle, and an end. And a lot of the end is conclusions that we make up about stuff. So mm-hmm. we've got the beginning, like, oh, this happened, and then this happened, so therefore, the end, ta-da. Right? We make up an end. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the conclusions that we come to aren't true. And a lot of the conclusions we've been told about ourselves aren't true. And so a lot of the heart of the practical spirituality is really using spiritual truths to define a different conclusion, to define a new story, and to really come to different ideas about who we are and what the divine is and how we can relate to that. Because mm-hmm. I believe that really what we believe, whatever it is that we believe about the divine and how it works with us, how we utilize it to make up our life, impacts everything else that we do, whether we believe it or not. Whether you think you're an atheist or an agnostic, whether you never have gone to church or you grew up in a certain religion and you don't believe that anymore, there are, 95% of our thoughts are unconscious. And they're just on autopilot back there, going over and over and over mm-hmm. again. And so really practical spirituality to me is almost like retraining the brain, is interrupting those old conclusions that no longer serve us, that aren't working for our life, that aren't working for the world, and really coming up with a new idea. And so, one of the things that we often do, and you and I talked about earlier, is judge. And we judge based on this, like, this is right and this is wrong. And mm-hmm. it's almost like we think that life would be so much easier if there was this big list in the sky and all the good things were on one side and all the bad things were on the other. And if we could just be on the good side, then everything would be fine. And we could just, tell everybody on the bad side to come over to our side, then everything would be fine. And I call bullcrap. And I say that it's, I like to use, again, this is another example from my favorite author, Daniel Quinn. He said, if a rabbit is running through the forest and a fox is chasing that rabbit, if the fox catches the rabbit, that's good for the fox, but bad for the rabbit. But if the rabbit gets away, that's good for the rabbit, bad for the fox. Like, there isn't an intrinsic good and bad. It really depends on our perspective. Mm-hmm. And so how can we instead shift from a place of judgment to curiosity, and really come from a place of oneness instead of duality? Mm-hmm. Because as long as we're coming from a place of duality, right, wrong, good, bad, there's always going to be a finger pointed and there's always going to be a line drawn in the sand where someone else is on the other side of it. And mm-hmm. when we do that, we can justify harm. We can justify, violation or dismissal or alienation. But really, at the heart of oneness is recognizing that we're all a part of the same thing. And what we do to another, we do to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so really getting curious about what works and what doesn't work. Another example is a Douglas fir can't grow in the desert. That doesn't mean there's anything wrong with the Douglas fir or there's anything wrong with the desert. Just because there is one doesn't mean that all the parts of the one are for all the other parts. And so it's really going back to that curiosity. Can I move past judgment into curiosity and really look at what is working for me? What works for my family? What works for my business? What works for my clients? And what works for humanity? And start mm-hmm. asking those kinds of questions.
Yeah, judgment and criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Oy.
Yeah, that's some heavy stuff.
It really is. And the idea of curiosity, just the simple idea of curiosity. If we were curious about something
mm-hmm.
way before we were criticizing it or judging it, we might find out something that we didn't know.
Absolutely.
And it's like that, the idea that you can't hate somebody when you know their story.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you just can't.
Yeah.
And that's the whole truth is that if we're curious and we want to know somebody's story and we want to know people, why they do what they do, or whatever is going on in the situation, being curious about it brings in those, in that connection, possibility for empathy, compassion, connection.
Absolutely. And also applied into our own inner work, you know, our personal and spiritual development. If every step forward that we take in our own growth, we allow that capital J judge to be like, oh, you did it wrong. You mm-hmm. should have done da, 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 da. Oh. You didn't do that. You know, if you were really enlightened, you would have X, Y, Z'd. As long as we let that judge be the boss of us, we won't take very many steps forward because right. it's too painful. Mm-hmm. And we'll start to learn.
Why bother?
Right. Why bother? So we'll just stay small and we'll stay stuck. Whereas if we bring in curiosity, it can be like, huh, I wonder why I did that.
Mm-hmm.
Huh, I wonder why I keep doing that. Huh, I wonder where that came from. And then we can start to investigate and discover more about ourselves, and that's where the real healing comes in.
Interesting about the internal and external critic.
Mm-hmm.
They're both really, really mean.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
It's a lot.
You know, a long time ago, I think I believed that in order to be an effective leader or to be a big success or to be an Oprah, you had to have gotten past all that. And
right.
and I just don't think that that's true anymore. I think that it's, you have to learn how to not to believe it.
Could you imagine how hard that would be to have to try to be in a leadership type position and not have anything in your life that is a little haywire?
Right. Like, has anyone ever met that person? I haven't. I think that's a big old myth that we use to beat ourselves over the head with.
Yeah, right. Know? The illusion.
Yep.
So we have talked about two aspects of what you do, your coaching in the Spiritual Sundays. Now, how does somebody find out about that?
Yeah, so my website is radicalrevelations.com, and I figured I'd cycle back and just talk a little bit about why I chose that business name, if that's all right.
Radical Revelations.
Yeah, mm-hmm. because, you know, I will admit, for those of you who are coaches out there, you know, you may have learned that you're supposed to find a niche. Right? You got to find your people and who you help and how you help them. And, you know, I've been seeing clients for 10 years and I'm a, I used to be a serial niche switcher. I had a really hard time finding my thing, you know, because I was taught how to help all the people with all the things.
I know, right?
Right? As life coaches are, or as, you know, mm-hmm. therapists are, or acupuncturists, or, you know, all these people are given all these skills. And then the next thing they're told is, well, pick one. And so I really, so while my, you know,
one,
but I can help all the people with all the things. And so while I've been helping, you know, coaches and healers in crisis for about a year and a half, 2 years now, Radical Revelations has been around for 6 years. And I chose that business title because I really believe that we don't have to become anything, that we're already, you know, we were born these these amazing, brilliant beings of light, this mm-hmm. essence of who we are. But that's been covered up in our lifetime by societal thoughts, you know, false beliefs, other people's ideas, our own conclusions. And so really at the heart of everything I do, whether it's in my, you know, my coaching or in my Sunday service or in my events or in my music, it's really about pulling back those layers of who we thought we were mm-hmm. so that we can reveal this brilliant essential nature that's the truth of who we are and is exactly what the world is asking for. But in a world that tells us who we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to act, that's a pretty radical notion.
Right.
So hence, Radical Revelations is really at the heart of everything I do. And so if anyone's interested in stuff I have going on, it's all there, radicalrevelations.com. It's got my coaching, my support circle for coaches and healers in crisis, Star Spiritual Sunday, my local monthly event, Portland Lunch Meetup, and all the things.
So the Spiritual Sundays are
every Sunday?
Every Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Virtually through Zoom conference at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard.
And all that info is on your website.
Yep.
So you also do a monthly meetup.
Yes. I just had it today earlier.
Today?
Mm-hmm. It was great.
20 people or so,
yeah,
right?
It was great.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's called Portland Lunch Meetup. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing it for about 2.5 years, and it happens every third Tuesday. And I host it at the Lucky Lab just up the street at Southeast Hawthorne. And I rent the private event space there. And it's really a place to, it's, you know, it's got some networking options and networking breaks, and there's an early networking arrival time. But it's really about showcasing all of this amazing talent that we have right here in Portland. And so each month I feature a guest speaker that speaks on a specific topic. Uh-huh. I speak on that topic, and then I also offer support right there in the room. And then I have a local company sponsor the raffle and give away a raffle item. I like to say I'm a connector and collector of rad people doing rad things.
I know,
so
right? It's not just a meetup.
No. It's a community.
It's not quite a carnival.
Right.
Even though there's some fun.
Totally. And there, you know, I boss people around. I ring my bell. Sit down, mm-hmm. go network. You know, sit down and listen to the talk. Stand up, go network. You know, I like to really own my leadership, right?
Right.
Yes. But it's an opportunity for me to bring the community together to showcase this amazing talent that we have right here in Portland. Because, you know, while there's some great networking events here in Portland, you don't really get to see people in their zone. They might get up and do like a 2 or 3 minute commercial. But I find that when you let someone talk for 20 minutes, you get to really see what they have to offer. And so you might, maybe you want to hire them, or maybe you want to refer them to someone else, or maybe you want to have them speak at your event. And it really allows us to get to know each other better and more deeply, which mm-hmm. is what I'm all about, is going deep.
Going deep.
Yeah.
Nice. And that too is on your website.
Absolutely.
That's once a month.
Yep.
You know, those are like your kind of coaching business life mm-hmm. things that you're doing. I love you so much. I think it's just amazing.
Thank you.
Spread and the volume and everything. It's
yeah.
like,
I'm I get glad bored you, easily.
It seems like that.
Yes.
Yeah. And so to help you out with your boredom, you also stepped into a musician.
Yeah.
A band.
Yeah.
And you do singing.
I do. Well, I've always sang like my whole life. I mean, when I was 3, I had my little Fisher-Price recorder, and I would, you know, I would record myself singing like Sleeping Beauty in there. And I used to be a karaoke DJ on and off for like 10 years in the Portland metro area. So many of you out there know me as Star with 2 R's, your karaoke DJ. But it was...
Oh, that's you.
Yeah, that's me. I'll run into people at the grocery store. They'll be like, Star with 2 R's. I'm like, that's me. But it was really great because I knew that I didn't have enough in me to birth both a band and a business at the same time. And so I had actually taken a break from doing music for several years. And, you know, the way the universe works, mm-hmm. I just got approached by someone at an event, and they heard me sing on the break. And he was a videographer at the event. And he was like, you know, we're looking for a female vocalist. And so about a year and a half ago, I walked in that, that practice space, and we just gelled right away. And so we've been playing, almost every week for about a year and a half. And we actually came out with a 5-song EP last year that was really exciting. And it's been really great because I get to just show up and sing. I'm not in charge.
That's amazing.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love being in charge, but everywhere.
Not everywhere. The idea that you get to go somewhere and not be in charge is amazing.
Yes, yes. It's pretty great.
So we have a short clip
of
yay. That song. If Somia will take us in there.
Now I get to show up as all I am.
awesome.
Thanks. That's me.
So you don't break into that song in a coaching session.
You never know. Yeah, sometimes I'll sing when I do public speaking. I'll sing a little bit, you know, as like an intro to my talk. And I actually have used singing in my own personal development. I came up with a little song, you know, years ago to help me kind of interrupt my brain patterns and get me on a new approach. And so I think singing is a great way to retrain our brain and to add a little lightness and humor into our growth, because sometimes we can take ourselves a little too seriously.
Very much so.
But yeah, no, singing is a big part of who I am. And what I love about that song is you know, I got to co-write it with the band. They already had the chords and stuff, and I, you know, wrote that melody and those lyrics myself, and I hadn't done songwriting in a few years because of, you know, focus on my practice.
Sure.
And what came out of me was really just this honoring, as you heard, As All I Am is the name of that song. And it's really about all the growth that I've done and, you know, all of those layers that I've peeled back so that now I'm really honoring all of me, mm-hmm. not just the part that society deems worthy or acceptable, or not just the part I think will get approval, but really all the parts of me. And that's just been so magical. And so it's really great to get to share that through my music as well.
And to be able to belt it out in song.
Oh yeah, it's so fun.
I mean, that's got to be so awesome.
It is so fun. And, you know, because it's my song, I get to use it in Star Spiritual Sundays too.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's great. Thanks for sharing that. And so it's Soul Simpatico, S-O-L Simpatico. You can find us on Spotify and on YouTube and iTunes and all the places.
So, do you guys play live around town? Did I miss that?
People ask us that. We're just not there yet. We only have these five songs, but we're back to the drawing board, and we're creating some more stuff. And so maybe by the end of the year, we'll start playing out.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, but there's a lot of us. So we've got, you know, five in the main band, and then once we play live, we'll add two horns plus another percussionist. So I mean, when we play live, it's going to be a big deal. There's going to be eight of us on stage.
I want to see that.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
I'm making my reservation right now.
Sounds good.
That's awesome. So what's in your future? What do you got going on?
Oh my gosh, so many things.
Well, I know you have a lot going on. I'm sorry, let me rephrase that.
Yeah, but no, in my what future. Yeah, I want so many things, right? I just see myself as a message for this, you know, movement towards oneness versus duality. And however that plays out, you know, I want to be speaking to larger crowds. I want to be, you know, on stage talking to leaders and letting them know that leaders are allowed to have stuff up too, and really giving them strategies and tips on how they can keep giving their best even when they're at their worst. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm working on writing a book, which I won't tell you the name of in case it changes.
Which, you know, it might.
It might. But it's really, you know, about how do we handle the world when it's constantly changing? How do we have fun anyway? Mm-hmm. How do we have fun in the midst of uncertainty when we don't even know what our country's going to look like a year from now? Mm-hmm. And how do we not let our outer world define us and bring us down, but also not be like in a bubble where we're pretending like everything's fine? Because that's not helpful either. You know, and finding, I don't like to use the word balance. I like to use the word harmony. Mm-hmm. Because balance implies that everything's equal, and that's just not the way things work. But in harmony, you've got certain notes that have their place and some notes that show up more than others. But when they're in the right place, it's this beautiful song, right? And mm-hmm. so it's like, how do we find the right notes for our life to create this beautiful song that we can be proud of, you know, even if stuff around us is crumbling? And so I really, right now I love the Portland Lunch Meetup as it is, but I would love to outgrow that space and really have it be to where 50 or 100 people mm-hmm. are coming every month, to mm-hmm. where we have a really big room with a stage and a sound system. And you know, I would love to be able to help more coaches and healers who are dealing with these really heavy things and to impact even more lives in whatever way that I can.
Wow. I like it. I like your idea of balance versus harmony.
Yeah, thanks, me too.
Because I've used balance a lot, you know, and there is some of that.
Mm-hmm.
There is some of that implication that things have to be the same, or it has to be even. And the truth is it's not.
Right. And we think about, you know, scales, and then we try to, like, I hear a lot of, especially moms, you know, try to do the work-life balance, and they think that it has to be equal, equal, equal. And then they, again, we're rolling that stone up the hill or banging our head against the wall. And instead it's like, how can you find the harmony? And the other piece to that is, you know, we live in such a linear culture where, you know, we think of life as kind of like that, you know, epitome of the ideal stock market, where it's just going up and up and up and up and up and better and better and better. And today is always better than yesterday, or else you're doing it wrong. And the reality is we are cyclical beings. Mm-hmm. You know, we go through cycles, and then we're going to have dark times and down times. And how do we set up our life for that to be okay? And how do we really maximize those times when we are at our best? So trusting that that too is going to end, and that we will cycle back through. And instead of, you know, being in fear of winter, really honoring those darker, quieter, more still times. Because, you know, as we know, when it's winter, we may not see anything on the surface, but that, you know, all that stuff is going on beneath the soil, and it's gathering energy and it's gathering momentum so that that grass can burst through during the spring and start to grow. And so I think, you know, really honoring our cyclical nature is another way that we can honor ourselves.
Wow. I'm trying to add something in here or say something, but it's like, that's a whole lot, what you just said. And it's like, you know, that idea between linear and cyclical, linear circles, is so true. It's shifting us out of a place of, just like what you said, this always this forward upward movement, which is the ultimate indoctrination.
Absolutely. Yeah. We've been told that's the way to go, and if that isn't what your life looks like, you're doing it wrong.
How life works.
Yeah. And there's so much guilt.
You start up here and you just keep going. And then when you crash, which a lot of us do.
Right. What causes burnout and overwhelm?
You got to deal with that. The idea of breaking that indoctrinated belief.
Yes. That's a big part of what I end up doing with clients, is really unlearning, is calling out that indoctrination and saying, yeah, like I just had a client last week, a brand new client who, you know, was feeling some shame because he had the best kind of creativity in the evening. That was where he found himself to be the most creative, was kind of late at night. And yet he felt like, in order to be a good partner, you know, for his spouse, that he had to be there with her all the time and be there for dinner. And I, you know, I helped him to see that really he can be a better partner for his spouse if he's working with who he actually is. And, you know, and there's a way to honor both of them, not just her. And, you know, maybe she gets him like twice a week for dinner, but not every night for dinner. And how can he really honor? And it was great. You know, we were on a Zoom call, and I could just literally watch him just like relax into his own body with this idea that he didn't have to try to beat himself up or force himself into some way that didn't work for him, that he could really honor his own cycles, that he wasn't a 9-to-5 kind of guy, that he did more, you know, physical stuff during the day. He could get more task-oriented stuff during the day, but that in the evening, that he really could honor his creativity. And maybe once or twice a week, he is staying up till 2 a.m. because that's when his juicy time is. And so I think it's so important to really, you know, first discover ourselves, who we really are, not who we thought we were supposed to be, or who someone else told us to be, or who we think it would be easier in life to be. It's really easier in life when we're ourselves.
The idea of being in that flow has come up for me a lot lately, as quit resisting, you know, whatever is going on for me. But the feeling of being in the flow of that circle, of that undetermined path.
Yeah.
And that is so awesome. So, Star, we have 2 minutes.
Woo, time flies.
Time flies.
We're having so much fun.
Right. Now, you did mention that you might want to sing a song, or I might want you to sing a song.
I mean, I'm always down.
Well, we have a minute and a half now.
All right. Well, one of the other songs that I wrote on the EP is called Spirit Within, and it's really about honoring parts of me. So I say part of me is scared and part of me is joy and all of me is love. And so I just maybe thought I would sing the very first part, if okay. That's okay. So part of me right now is scared. There's supposed to be bongos in the background, just so you know, I'm keeping the beat. Okay. Part of me right now is scared. Bum, bum. Dun, 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 dun. To let the light that is inside me show. Dun, 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 dun. I acknowledge that critic. I let it go. I acknowledge my critics. I let them go. There you go.
And little chills all over the place. Right, Soumya?
Thanks so much for having me, Gwen. This was amazing.
Thank you, love. And thank you, Soumya, for doing our board op tonight. Love you. And thank you, everybody out there, for listening. And have a very sweet rest of the day.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks.
Yeah.
You are listening to KBOO, KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. You just heard Is It You or Is It Me with Guinevere and her guest Star with two R's. And next up is Calculated Conversation with David and Can. If you'd like to call into the show, the number is 503-231-8187.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Feet to Fire campaign and protest on Monday, March 25th at 10 a.m. at the Clackamas County Circuit Courthouse in Oregon City. The Feet to Fire campaign is part of the national campaign started by Protect Our Stolen Treasures Out of Detroit. This peaceful protest calls for justice for those lost to police violence and hate crimes. Again, that's Feet to Fire campaign in protest on Monday, March 25th at 10 a.m. at the Clackamas County Courthouse, 807 Main Street in Oregon City. For more information, can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the community forum on Zenith Tar's